it's a festive time of year, and all around the world, preachers are preaching about the birth of Christ and all that, but that's not what I'm going to preach on this morning. Preach on something completely different from what you would think, because you have to, the most important thing is just to obey the Lord. Amen. And God knows what we need. Amen? If I were to make a statement this morning and said, God will surely, and ask you to finish that sentence, probably most everybody have a different answer. They'd probably say stuff like, God will surely bless you, God will surely keep you, God will surely sustain you, God will surely love you, God will surely accept you, and on the list goes, and all those things would be true. That's not what I'm going to preach on this morning. What I want to preach on to you this morning is, God will surely whoop you. Amen. Amen. Now, the chastisement of the Lord is just as much Bible as the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Amen. And all of Pauline's epistles. It's just as serious and just as real as you are sitting in this building. Amen. Let's see what God says about this. Look at verse number 1, chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Each person here this morning has a race to run, and you have to run your race. I can't run your race. You can't run my race. You got a race to run. Amen. And he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It really is all about him. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Wherefore, we have had fathers of our flesh, speaking of our earthly fathers here, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. I can say amen to that right there. But grievous, nevertheless afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He starts out talking about running, and then here at the end of what we just read, he's talking about your feet again. Keep your feet moving and stay busy. I want to preach to you a minute this morning on God will surely whoop you. We called it whoopings when I was growing up. We never got a spanking. That sounded like something to be fun. That don't sound like that hurt. A spanking is something when somebody stands you up and takes a little paddle and pops you on the rump with it. But we got whoopings, I mean, when I was growing up. I remember them. Amen. I bury in my body the marks of my mom and my daddy. Amen. Listen, brother, I remember those whoopings. There's a whole lot I don't remember growing up, but I do remember that. Amen. And the Bible explicitly tells us who gets a whipping and why they get a whipping and who they're getting whipped by. Amen. If you've never had a whooping or a whipping, then you just are not saved. The Bible plainly tells us there in the passage. Only a daddy will only whip his own children. I'm not going to whip your kids. I might say under my breath, them kids need a whooping. I might tell my wife, boy, them little brats need a whooping. But I ain't going to come up and whip your kids. But I'll whip my kids. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, it is a Bible doctrine. Chastisement. God will chastise us. I'm going to jump right into this and give you a few things and I'll let you go. I want you to notice, first of all, there is an examination. If you look there in the Bible where we just read, the Bible said, I believe it's in verse number 3, he said, for consider him. I want you to consider him who you walk after and who you serve. Now consider our Lord Jesus Christ. It just previously told us in verse number 2 that he despised the shame that he bore on the cross. Listen, I want to tell you what, there's an examination of our lives. God expects you to walk right, talk right, live right, act right. God expects something out of you. God expects something out of me. We talked about it in Sunday school a little bit. How you can do it any way you want to. That's fine. You can. You can do anything you want to do, anytime you want to, anywhere you want to. You can choose where you go. You can choose your own friends. You don't have to listen to me preach. You don't have to listen to God. You don't have to obey the Bible. But you will receive punishment. Amen? That's the Bible. He said, consider him. You ought to think about the Lord Jesus once in a while when you're thinking about doing your own thing and going your own way and serving your own desires of the flesh. Well, to think about what God did for us, what Jesus Christ, he said, consider him. Think about it. I mean, consider what Jesus did for you. I mean, brother, we're not just in this thing because it's a good religion to be in. We're in this because, amen, the darling Lamb of God, he came down from heaven and he wasn't just in a manger and he wasn't just a good man, and he didn't just die on the cross, but he rose from the dead having the keys of death and hell. We ought to consider him this morning, the examination of our chastisement. He also said, continue and don't faint. He said, continue, just keep going. I mean, he said, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. That's why you have some folks. They have some folks that'll quit. They'll get out of church because they get weary in their minds. I tell you this thing. I listen, brother. It will. It'll weigh on your mind. But I want to tell you something, brother. You can serve God. Our ancestors did it. Our forefathers did it. Our mamas and daddies did it. Our grandmas and grandpas did it. It ain't so hard. I just about get sick and tired of hearing Christians whine and complain like a bunch of babies and talk about how hard it is to serve God. We got it easy, brother. We got it made compared to the people that paved the way for us. I want to tell you, he said, consider him and continue on and just keep on going. What do you do when you feel bad? You just keep going. Mama, you say, get up and stir around. Boy, you'll feel better in a little while. And there's truth in that. Just continue. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing. We shall receive a reward if we faint not. He said there's a cost. In verse number 4, he said, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It hadn't cost you any blood yet, has it? You said, preacher, it's so hard. I've got a husband that's not saved. I sympathize with you. I really do. I know it's rough. But I want to tell you something. It ain't cost you no blood yet. I mean, brother, listen. I mean, you ain't suffered like some of our forefathers did. People whine about how bad it is, and none of us really know what real persecution is in the 21st century. Let me read a couple of excerpts for you here. This is documented history. Francis Bibard, secretary to Cardinal D. Pellet for speaking in favor of the Reformed, had his tongue cut out and was then burned AD 1545. That's the people we're going to be living with in heaven. James Cobart, a schoolmaster in the city of St. Michael, was burnt AD 1545 for saying the mass was useless and absurd. We say that all the time. But back then you didn't do that. You didn't say that back in the 14th century and the 15th century. They'd cut your head off. They'd kill you. I mean, they would mangle your body up. I want to read something else to you. The Bible said at the same time as 14 men were burned in Malta, their wives were being compelled to stand and watch the execution. They took those men out there for being Christians. They didn't take them out there for molesting kids. Child Uncle Lester's has got it easier today than Christians had back in the old days. I want to tell you, only thing to do to a child molester is slap them on the wrist and put them on a sex registry. But I want to tell you, back then Christians, when they stood for God, brother, it cost them a lot. It cost them their lives in many cases. It didn't cost you any blood yet. At Penna, one woman being dragged from her hiding place was first abused by the brutal soldiers. Then with a sword which they commanded her to draw, they forced it while into her hands, into the bowels of her husband. Page 71, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Go to buy that book. Get that book for Christmas. If you want to really buy somebody a Christmas present, buy them that book and make them promise to read it within 30 days. It'll change the way you look at things. Some they stripped naked, and after offering them the most infamous insults, they struck them with pins from head to toe and lanced them with pen knives. And sometimes with red hot pincers, they dragged them by the nose until some of them promised to turn. Listen, it was horrible. Sometimes they tied fathers and husbands while they ravished their wives and daughters right while they watched them do it. I didn't think he might shout on this message. Multitudes were imprisoned in noisome dungeons while they practiced all sorts of torments in secret. Their wives and children, they shut up in monasteries. Page 74, Fox's Book of Martyrs. You hear our government talk about the refugees, the poor refugees. I do feel sorry for them people, but listen, that's what happens when you live in a God-forsaken, godless, Bible-hating, God-hating country. That's what happens. Listen, brother, we can't save the whole world. We can't be the rescuer and the police of the whole world. I want to tell you, brother, back then, and those people really suffered. It's unbelievable. It's hard for us to enter. It sounds like a horror movie, some of the things they did. Some of the things they did to those people for doing what you're doing this morning, I can't even say it in mixed company. You wouldn't believe what they did to the women. You wouldn't believe it. You say, oh, ISIS is bad what they do. It ain't nothing what the Roman Catholic Church did to Christians for hundreds of years. There's an examination. Number two, I want to say there's an exhortation. He said in verse 5, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? Have you forgotten? Listen, the wheels of God's justice may grind slow, but they are grinding. You're not going to get away with a thing. I'm not going to get away with a thing. If you don't live right before God and give Him your life and give Him your all, listen, brother, He'll come after you. He'll give you time. He is patient. He is long-suffering. He is merciful. But rest assured, dear friend, there's coming a day that your whooping is going to come. And you'll know it. Amen. You may forget a lot of things, but you'll never forget that you're God's child. He'll remind you. I've had my mama snatch me up more than one time to remind me who I belong to. I remember when we got old enough to start driving, you know how boys, teenage boys are, mama take it. And mama, listen, mama wasn't no athletic type. But she knew how to swing a hickory, bless God. She could walk out the street in Dodge City and draw down with Clint Eastwood, and she could draw a hickory out faster than she could pull a gun. And she'd say, boy, you best remember who your daddy is. You better not get out here and ruin your daddy's good name and ruin his reputation, because you got to come back home sometime. When you do, it's going to be hell to pay, amen? I ain't kidding, brother. I ain't making that up. You know what that was? That was an exhortation. You better remember who your mom and daddy is. I'll tell you what my daddy said. He said, son, he said, you get out to them boys you're running around with, if you wind up in jail, they ain't going to give you but one phone call. Don't waste it. Use it wisely. Don't waste it calling here at the house. We're going to be in bed sleep, and I ain't coming up there. Call you a lawyer. Here's a quarter. Call somebody who cares. You say, preacher, your daddy must have been awful. He was, but he loved me. Hey, I thank God for him. If God had raised him from the dead and let him walk in the back door, I'd run back there and fall down at his feet and kiss his feet and say, daddy, thank you for them whippings. You should have beat me twice as much as you did. Amen. Have you forgotten? He said, despise not the chastening of the Lord. You better not hate it. You better not get bitter at God when he goes to taking a hickory to you and pull his belt off. Some of you kids don't even know what I'm preaching about. You ain't never had a whooping. You ain't been whipped enough. You ought to have the tar beat out of you. Listen, it'll change your life. It'll do something for you. It builds character in people. Amen. We were somewhere the other day and there's some little kid just screamed. We went to eat. That's what it was. We went to eat. went in his place to eat, and Debbie said, "Where do you want us at?" I said, "Anywhere away from that kid over yonder." Kid was running amok in that restaurant, screaming and squealing and hollering. I said, "I ain't going to sit near that. I'll take my food and go eat in the car." Amen. Listen, I love them little kids, and I know they're just learning, but I'll tell you what, you can train them. Don't think you can't do it. "Well, preacher, you just got to let them do it." No, you don't. You start training them. You start spanking them and whipping them and correcting them. It's for correction. It's not to abuse them. It's not to be mean to them. But it's to teach them a valuable lesson that'll stay with them the rest of their lives. I'm almost 58 years old, and I remember them lessons Daddy taught me. He'd grab me up by one arm, had his belt in the other, and we'd go in circles for about 5 minutes. I remember it vividly. I remember one time he promised me a whipping, and he come home at night, and I was in bed. He come in there and said, "Son, I hate to do this, but I promised you a whipping today, and I got to do it before I go to bed, or I'd be lying." Pulled the covers back, said, "Are you ready?" And I just sat up on the side of the bed. What else could I say? I said, "Yes, sir. Do your thing." But I didn't say that, but I thought it. He laid into me. Then he hugged me and said, "I'm sorry I had to do that." He didn't say, "I'm sorry I did it." He said, "I'm sorry I had to do that." You know what they'd say? They'd say, "Don't make me do that." Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you looking at me like you never heard anything like that. Listen, God is saying, "Don't make me come down there and get a hold of you. I've got other things to do." We hear so much preaching and so many songs about God loving us, and He does, about God taking care of us, and He will. And we hear songs and we hear things and messages about God will see you through the storm. All that's true, but you never hear anybody say, "But He loves you so much, He's not going to let you throw your life down the toilet. He's going to wear you out. He's going to whip you." Mama used to say, "I'm going to thrash you, boy. I'm going to beat you like a thrashing machine. You ain't going to know what got a hold of you." I'm going to tell you, when I got to be a teenager, honestly, I feared my mom and daddy more than I did getting in a fight with somebody else. And I got in a few fights, too. I mean, we got in some bad ones. I've had shotguns pulled on me, knives pulled on me. I've been beat up, and I've beat others up. But I dreaded going home. I dreaded having to face the wrath of mom and daddy. And you know why? Because I knew they had my best interest at heart. I knew that's right. I knew mom was right. I knew daddy was right. And God said, and that's an exhortation, "Don't you forget whose child you are." They want to live in the world a while, live in the church a while. One part of them wants to be in the church. They want to show up and be a church member every once in a while, but still want to wallow around in the filth of this world. And God said, "You can do it. You can. You can do that. But I ain't going to let you get away with it." People say, "You Baptists believe you can live any way you want to and get away with it." I ain't never heard a Baptist preach that. You can do anything you want to. You can. But you won't get away with it. I've had teachers, or my daddy, get me good. Can you believe that, kids? Think about this. I've come home from school before and had to tell my mama, "Here's a note." I'm talking about in the 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, big old boy. "I got a paddling." "What'd you get a paddling for?" And then I told her, guess what happened? "Go out there in that bush and get me a limb." And she whipped me again. And I knew if I didn't tell her, she'd find out. Because mamas have got radar. They find that stuff out. You might as well just tell them the truth. And then when daddy'd come home at night, he'd be off somewhere preaching. And when he'd get home, I'd hear him back there talking. And daddy'd come in and say, "Come here, let's have a talk." And I said, "What do you mean embarrassing me the way you did at school today, big old boy like you, in the 8th grade, doing something like that?" And the teacher had to whip you. Sometimes a teacher whip would paddle you. The principal would paddle you. You go home, mom would whip you, and then daddy would come home and put icing on the cake. I'm serious. I ain't making that up. Amen. Steven Spielberg couldn't make up a movie that good, brother. This is the real McCoy I'm talking about. There's some of you older people sitting here this morning. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't forget who your father is. Let me say this. You can tell how kids are raised by how they respond to their parents. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if Brother Heath don't mind me using this example, I don't want to embarrass his family. But I was down there at his shop one day, stopped by, and Gunner's in there sweeping. And Gunner's a good worker. He's helping his daddy, does what his daddy tells him. And his phone did something. He picked it up, and Heath was talking to me, trying to say, "Get off that phone and sweep that floor." And he put the phone back in his pocket and kept sweeping. I thought, I admire that young man for that. They ain't one out of 100 teenagers would say end and stop and put that back in their pocket and keep sweeping. But he knew. Who told him that? If I said, "Put your phone up," he'd have laughed at, "Oh, you're funny, preacher." But his daddy said it,
And he knew what the consequences are going to be down the road. He might not smack him around while I was there unless he let me watch. It'd be fun. But you know what that tells me? That wasn't the first time he'd ever spoke to him. He understood. He said, "Yes, sir," and put it in his pocket and kept working. You know what I'm trying to get at, don't you? Hey, you might talk under your breath and get bitter at God and get mad at God, and you might whine and complain. I've done the same thing. I've talked back to my teacher where she couldn't. I try that Debbie once in a while. She'll say, "What? Nothing." They used to whip us so bad when we was kids. I ain't making this up. You ever got the snubs? You was crying so much you couldn't cry. You ever done that? They said, "Go ahead and cry it out." And when they thought you'd reached enough time crying, they'd say, "All right, dry it up." And you'd be going, and I'd go in my room, close the door. This is true. God's my witness. And I'd be so mad at Daddy for whipping me, I'd be under my breath. I'd be going, I hate you. I wish you was dead. I'd be in there just mad, you know. He'd come back and "Did you say something?" "No, no, sir." Yeah. You might whine and complain about serving God, how rough it is, how hard it is, but you better be careful how much that moaning you do, because he hears every bit of it. He hears every bit of it. Everything's open before him. The Bible said he searches the hearts and the minds, and his eyes is beholding everything that we do. One little boy said one time, Debbie's telling about this teacher, they had this conference, and this guy was teaching them about the attitude of children. And he said, he told this little boy to sit down, and he kept telling him to sit down, he wouldn't be still. And Tom finally told that little boy, said, "If you get out of your seat one more time," I forget what the consequences was. Here's what that little boy said. He sat there a few minutes, raised his hand, he said, "Well, now what?" He said, "I'm sitting down, but in here, I'm still standing up." You talk about rebellion in a little child. You know what that means? The Bible said, if you beat him with the rod, you'll deliver his soul from hell. That's where that saying came from. Literally. People talk about the good old days. Man, them was a good old day, but they ain't nobody wants to bring them back. Nobody wants to go without air conditioning and go without good heat and carry water from the creek and get the living snot beat out of you when you do wrong. Nobody wants that. We just talking. That's right. Oh, I love them good old days. Go home and yank the air conditioner out, take a refrigerator up, throw it in the backyard. Let Miss Brenda make you some ice. You'll never live that now. Amen. Like that man one time, he sold another guy a mule, and he called him. He said, "Man, this mule won't hit a lick. He's just standing there. I can say G and he won't G. I say ha, he won't ha. He won't take a step." He said, "Well, I'll come over." I said, "He's a little bit particular." He come over and looked at him, tried to give him to do something, he wouldn't. An old farmer went in the back of his truck and got a 2x4, walked around there, and he hit that mule so hard, he just staggered. He said, "Yep, get up here," and that mule took off. He said, "What in the world?" I said, "He listens good. It just takes something to get his attention." That's what I'm saying this morning. Don't continue on in your own sin and your own way and wait for God to take a 2x4 and hit you upside the head. Then you're laying in your hospital bed and you say, "Now I know what Heath was talking about. Tell us to read our Bible. I ain't got nothing better to do now but read my Bible." That's right. He said, "Don't fake. Don't faint. Don't quit when God chastises you. Don't sell up on God. Hey, don't faint and don't forget. Don't start your pouting and get mad. Don't sell up on God." I had a horse one time that would sell up once in a while. He'd just stop. He'd stand there. I had spurs. I rode with spurs on. And you got into him with them, he'd go. But when he hit that point where he'd just sell up, I mean, it took an act of God to move him. But we moved him. Amen. You can't sell up on God. Don't fear. Don't refuse it. When the preaching gets hot, you better grow up and take it and move to it and do what God said to do, because, listen, God will chastise those he loves. Number three, there's an examination and an exhortation, but number three, there's an explanation. Look at verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Well, preacher, I ain't never had a whipping like that. You better do a review. Mom and Daddy, if they whipped us because they loved us, they sure must have adored me. I was their favorite because they beat me daily. I kid you not, I ain't making that up now. If you're not whooped, you're not in the family. Used to back in the old days, you know, the kids come over to the house to play. If you got into trouble, Daddy whip you and he whip a neighbor's kid too. People didn't get mad and sue each other. They'd say, listen, he's going home all day Sunday afternoon for dinner and play with your little boy. If he gets out of line, feel free to tire into him. And my daddy meant that too. Whip him if he needs it. Don't let him, don't come over and let him tire your place apart. I don't let him do it, so you don't let him do it either. But Daddy was particularly hard on me because I was his. You're my boy. I remember one time me and my brother, a couple other boys, there's an old junk car sitting out the dead end road where we lived, and we'd got to throwing rocks and busting the windows out, just raising cane, bunch of punk kids. I wasn't but 12, 13, and that car sitting on blocks, it wasn't worth hauling off. But an old town drunk that owned it, heard about it, he called my daddy, made daddy pay for it. Daddy gave him $50 for it. Rest of them boys, daddy didn't pay nothing. And I asked daddy, so why do you make you pay? Why do you make divide it up in three? He said, because I'm the preacher in this town and he knows it. So he called me and I paid him and now I'm going to pay you. And brother, did he take out some payments. But you know what? He said, preacher, I don't believe in all that violence. No, you're confusing abuse with correction. Amen. Listen, it wasn't abuse. Daddy and mama did it because they cared. They wasn't going to let us ruin our lives. If you mess your life up, you're going to do it on your own. God's not going to let you do it. Amen. There's an explanation. Look at verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is it whom his father chasteneth not? I'd hate to think my mom and daddy didn't even care about me, wouldn't even whip me. Amen. Yeah, I hear little kids say things to their parents that I never said, never. Even when I was adult and got married, I'd be scared to say to my parents because I respected them. So that's my daddy. That's my mama. I ain't going to talk to my mama that way. There ain't no way I'm going to do that. Hey, when I was a teenager, I didn't try it. I was a big old boy, 18, 19 years old, and I was a bad boy, tough guy, drove a real sporty car and had lots of girlfriends, lots and lots of them. Just kidding about that. Just one once in a while. But I didn't go home and run my mouth. But there's an explanation to why you're getting a whipping. In verse number 10, for they verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I want to say, fourthly, there's an expectation. Job said, this is what Paul's quoting here. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. But therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Don't get mad, don't despise it. Do you really expect God to let you go and just not do a thing about it? Really, this little boy come up here and we sung happy birthday. Would you really expect that kid just get down and walk outside while all the cars are going in and out here after church and the mama just stay in here and be texting? Some women do that, but they're idiots. No, they go out there and tan his hide and say, don't ever do that again. And he'll remember that. Millie got a whipping at our house one time. She's 6 months old. 6 months. For messing with the heat register, the heat vent. She wouldn't leave it alone. To this day, she'll walk out and go. She looks at it a long time. She remembers that. She might not remember what we ate or what we did or what she played with, but she remembers what happened there at the heat vent. It got her lit up. Amen. There's an expectation. God expects you to change and me to change. Act like, you know, for us to act like nothing happened, there's an expectation from getting a whipping from God. When our daughter, our darling little Candace, was little, she was born a few years after Travis, and so there's a distance apart. Went out all them boys and finally had a little girl. And the boys kind of resented because we sort of favored her a little bit. They say a lot. See? Boy, I couldn't help it. It's almost like that's her grandpa, I felt like. I mean, she's so precious. She's a good little kid. She didn't really give us any trouble. One time we had to beat the fire out of her just to break her spirit. It took about five whippings. But when we would whip her, they'd get mad. They didn't like it. Yeah, that's right. I mean, they didn't like it when we played favorite. But when we got on her and we had big old tears, she was sitting in her chair, the tears running down, Daddy, maybe. And then Ronnie and Travis and all of them, they'd start acting weird and get weirded out. They didn't like it. Amen? There's an expectation. Yeah, you want somebody to do right and live right, but it takes the correction to get it done. People say, well, they're going through a stage. Listen, I've been going through a stage since I was born, and you have too. It's called this Adamic nature, this flesh of ours. We better keep it under control, and God's trying to help us with that. Discipline is appropriate. Pulpits never speak of the judgment of God in America anymore. There's relationship, there's a reality, and there's reconciliation. If you notice there, he said in verse 11, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous. Amen to that. But nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know what I mean? My daddy had such a good relationship when I got saved and grew up. It's because of them whippings. It builds a bond. It does. It'll make your kids love you more. You said, I don't believe in whipping. You're raising a rebel. I'm going to sit back and watch and wait for trouble to come, because it will come. He said, Bridget, I don't believe in spanking. I don't believe in whipping. You've just been brainwashed by Oprah and Dr. Phil and Hollywood, everything else. If you believe God in the Bible, and when them kids need it, you'll correct them and you'll give them that spanking or whipping or whooping or whatever you want to call it. Fathers should discipline their children. It's supposed to be that way. Quit blaming the devil on everything in your life. Sometimes God's just taking you to the woodshed. Amen? Devil gets blamed. Half the stuff devil gets blamed for is stuff we bring on ourselves. You ain't living right. You ain't doing what you ought to. People complain and say, the devil's riding my back and I can't afford to pay my bills. Quit stealing from God. Quit robbing God. And God will bless your finances. And you won't have the devil dipping in your pocket. Might not be the devil. Might be God just taking a hickory switch to you. Amen. You know who and you know why. He won't whip you until you know why. That you'll feel that Holy Ghost conviction, and you'll feel it, and you'll feel it, and you'll feel it. And then eventually when he whips you. I've had people ask me, they say, preacher, do you think things like this happen because something we did in our past? And I always say this, that's between you and God. Because I don't want to get in the way and say, here's what most preachers will say. No, sister, that is, no, God's not that way. He's not vengeful. He wouldn't do that. This is just one of those things. I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to get in the middle of that. What if God is whipping them? I ain't going to go to them and lie to them and give them some kind of psychological mumbo-jumbo, make them feel good about their sin, and God's trying to whip them, and God's trying to straighten them out. You better stay away from that. You better start with a little. You know how you break a horse? The day he's born, you start bonding with him. They call it imprint him. Put your imprint on that foal and he'll follow you around. And if you have to correct him, my dog's back here in my office. She goes with me everywhere. I can scold her. I can make her stay right there and go back here and she'll stay. She loves me. She goes with me everywhere. But she fears me too. I've whipped her before. She needs a whipping. Yeah. Amen? You say, preacher, that's just mean. Well, think what you want to. Amen? But what I'm saying is, God will, he'll whip you when you need it. He'll scourge you. People make 1,000 excuses about what's going on in their life. And a lot of times it's just sin. Pills won't help. Staying home won't help. Pouting won't help. Blaming others won't help. He scourgeth. You know what that means? He'll leave a mark on you. Remember when you was a kid? How many got whippings when you was a kid? Got a whipping like I've been preaching. Oh yeah, I knew it. I knew there's a bunch of you in here. I remember getting them whippings and mama would get done with you. You feel them little bumps on you? I mean them little old red marks on them hickory. She'd grab a hickory and strip the leaves off like it and she'd go to work, brother. And it left marks on you, striped up like a zebra when you got done. And when she was whipping you, you was wiggling and squirming all over. She didn't say, now bend over and grab your toes. If you want to stick your hind end up, she'd whip it. If you didn't, she'd whip whatever. You better stick it up there. That's the best part to get hit. Hit your back, your legs. I mean, they'd strop them little legs. That's what they call it. I'll strop them little legs. And you knew exactly what she meant. I remember my daddy whipped my brother one time so bad. My brother come in and said a real, real bad, bad, bad word. And I said it. And he said, where did you hear that? And I said, Jerry. And he just snatched him up. He cut the blood out of him. He's bleeding down his legs. I don't think Jerry said that word since. Amen. Amen, brother. You know I'm telling it right. Listen, God will, he'll chastise those that he loves. There's an expectation and there's an explanation. Listen, Jesus was hanging on the cross and he knew that his life and his body and his blood was being poured out for sin. Even Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he cried out and said, I thirst. Amen. God will judge his children. Don't think you're going to get away with it. Come on the pen, Ronnie. I don't know who this is for, and that don't matter, because you know. When the Lord whips you, back in the old days, y'all laugh at me for saying this. Daddy's philosophy was like this. There's three of us boys and two girls. The two girls didn't get much whippings. They're just good as they could be. Once in a while, they'd get it. But us boys are just into something all the time. Y'all boys always fighting and picking. I mean, they'd be downstairs, and they'd be drinking coffee, talking to church members, and they'd hear something rumbling and rustling around. The bed starting moving around, chairs falling around. They knew what was doing if I was roughhousing. Y'all better straighten up there. Yeah. And they'd go on a little while. We'd quiet down, and we'd get to rest. We was bad for that. Even when we got teenagers, one of us would hide behind the door, and another would come in, and we'd dive on him from the back. I mean, wrestle him to the ground, brother. We watched that wrestling so much when we was kids, we thought it was real, thought the moon landing was fake, thought professional wrestling was real. That's how messed up we was. Get headlocks, we'd see a pile driver. I want them guys, we'd try it on our brother. And they'd warn us about two or three times, and finally, get down here. And then it was on like Donkey Kong. And here's the bad part. The Bible says if you don't respond to correction, that it'll shorten your days, and God will take you. Mama used to holler out there in the yard, tell us to behave, and tell us to quit fighting, tell us to quit fussing, tell us to quit getting into it and getting into trouble. And about the third or fourth times, all right, you just come on in here. You sat right there on the couch while I iron clothes. You ladies don't know what that is, you young people. It's this big old hot thing plugged into the wall, and they'd run it over your clothes and took the wrinkles out. They go outside and get them off a clothesline. You don't know what that is either. It's a big old string running in the backyard, and if it come up a storm, you had to run out there and get them, put them in a basket, bring them in. My mom would stand there and iron. You just stand there and watch me iron a while. Then I'm going to mop, and you can watch that. Here I am, a 10-year-old boy just busting with energy, like Landon and Carson. Just got all kind of energy, sitting there dying. She said, well, if you can't behave, you can just sit here and watch it. That's what God's going to do to some Christian people. You're going to go home early. He's going to take you on to the house if you won't listen. If you can't, here's another thing, Daddy, you say, well, if you can't listen, maybe you can feel. That was his slogan. He pulled his belt off. And once he took it off, he never pulled his belt off that he didn't whip us. Don't pull a gun on somebody else, you're going to shoot them. Amen? People are afraid of their kids. They're afraid of their wives. They're scared of their mother-in-laws. Terrorists shouldn't scare us. People's afraid of their own families. Amen? People scared of the government, scared of the boss, scared their cable will go off during the game. Pastors are scared of unruly church members. Pastors are scared of deacons. That's right. Some pastors can't do nothing because they're scared of the deacon board. Them little boys was arguing one day. One boy said, my daddy is rich. He owns a house up on top of a mountain. He's a doctor. The other little boy said, my daddy's a lawyer. He owns a house down at the beach. The other little boy, he wasn't going to be outdone. He said, my daddy's a preacher. He owns hell. That's your daddy don't own hell. I heard him tell mama the deacons gave it to him. And people scared of offending. People scared to death of offending people. They're scared of ISIS. They're scared of everything. They're scared of getting sick and scared of everything in the world. But don't fear God, nary bit. You better fear Him, because He's the one that holds the breath of life in His hand. He's the one that keeps your heart beating. He's the one that puts groceries in your cabinet. He's the one that keeps your car going. He's the one that gives you health and strength so you can go out there and punch that clock and make a living. You better fear Him. Jot down these four H's in closing. In verse number 10, 11, 12, I'm going to hurry. If you'll respond to correction, if I'll respond to correction, verse 10, he said, after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. It will help you. It'll help you. If you take a whip and take it like a man, and don't sell up at God, don't get mad at Him, it'll help you. Won't it? There ain't nobody in here this morning going to come to me at church and say, preacher, I got whipped growing up like that, but I don't agree with what you said because it didn't help me. It ruined my life. No, it don't. It helps you. Do you realize that I'd be in hell this morning if it wasn't for my mom and daddy? Do you know I'd be in a hospital or a nursing home, or I'd be crippled, wouldn't have any teeth in my head? Do you realize if it wasn't for those whippings, I'd be in prison somewhere serving hard time? If I didn't fear my mom and daddy so much. Mama wouldn't let us go to a ball game. When we was little girls, she wouldn't let us go to a ball game. She didn't trust the people there. She didn't trust us. And I snuck off with a buddy of mine one time. I didn't have my license yet. Went to a ball game. Went in there to play football. Stadium, you know. And I was enjoying myself for about 15 or 20 minutes. And I thought, something said, your mama gonna find out about this. And I thought, well, there ain't nobody here even knows my mama. And the thought came to me, she always finds out. I left. I said, man, take me back home. He said, what's the matter? I said, I got a stomach ache, man. I feel terrible. Oh, awful. Just take me home quick. I didn't have no stomach ache. Lied like a dog. Then I went walking back in the house like nothing ever happened. Listen, I knew if mama found out, it wouldn't be worth it. I couldn't enjoy it anyway. If you get out and sin, you ain't going to enjoy it. You ain't going to have fun. You get out of church and quit serving God, you ain't going to enjoy it. You might as well just stay in and tough it out. It'll help you. Number two, it'll make you holy. Verse 10, that we might be partakers of his holiness. It'll help you to live a clean life. If you'll take your whipping and learn from it, you know, I tell people something bad happens to them, I say, see what you can learn from this. God's trying to teach you something. God taught me some things when I got hurt last year. That tree went through my leg on my tractor. Man, I learned a bunch of stuff. Me and the Lord got real close. He taught me all kinds of stuff. I don't know why he did that, but he did. He let that happen. And he spoke to me and taught me some things. Showed me a lot. When you get down and you are getting a whipping, make sure you learn something from it. Don't go stick your head right back into it. How many's heard your daddy say this? How many times have I told you? That's what God's saying. How many times am I going to have to tell you? It'll make you holy. A good whooping will teach you more things than all the pleasures and all the fun this world could ever offer. It'll bring honor. Verse 11, no chasing for the present seem to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. It'll bring honor. Me and my mom and daddy had a great relationship. I loved them. I guess Miss Alma whipped y'all a time or two, didn't she? Yeah. But it brought honor in your family, didn't it? Everybody knew not to mess with Grandma. Everybody knew, and everybody loved her and respected her, hated to see her go, and that's the honor that it'll bring. But if you rebel, it's going to get worse. In verse 12, it'll heal you. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. It'll bring healing in your life if you'll just take your medicine. What's the point of going to the doctor if you ain't going to listen to him? Right? If God's whipping you, it ain't because he's mad. It ain't because he likes it. It ain't because it's for the sole purpose of teaching you a valuable life lesson. We ought to hear more preaching on the chastening of God. We hardly ever hear it. I always hear preachers preaching encouraging messages, and those are good. We need them. But we also need to know that God loves us enough that he's not going to let us get away with sin. He's not going to do it. You belong to him, and he's going to whip you and me. I'm not just pointing my finger at y'all. I'm talking to me, too. None of us are going to get away with it. Let's stand this morning.